is The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yes, that is what's up. Welcome to The Buzz 24-7 for a Tuesday. It is the 12th day, right, of November?
I believe it
yes,
is.
Yes, it is.
Double checking.
Yes, Tuesday, November 12th, 10:19 a.m.
We are going to be speaking in just a little bit with Paul Reiser, who I think we talked to pretty recently. We don't normally double up on guests like that.
Yeah.
But this guy's just a good dude. He's
good
just
dude.
Funny, you know. He had a new movie out, the one that was filmed in Ireland that we talked about recently. I haven't seen it. I do want to see it.
Is that with Colm Meaney?
Yeah. Yep. Colm Meaney. Correct. So he's going to be joining us. And Jimmy has spent some time with Paul. I saw Paul one of the times he came to the Capitol Center in Concord. And he was just such a fun, easygoing comedian to watch. You know what I mean? That kind of... even though Mad About You had long since passed, I still love the guy. There's just something eminently likable about him.
Well, before Mad About You, he was one of the top comics in the country at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the sitcom fame comes. And sometimes you watch people on sitcoms and go, oh, he's not going to be a great stand-up because he's working on a sitcom. But he was just one of those guys that was always writing, very funny. And like you said, it's easy to listen to. Good comics make it look easy.
Yeah.
And he's one of those.
Yeah, and he does. And he can wing it. He's been on with us many times. So I'm going to he should be joining us in a few minutes. So we're waiting.
All right.
So I loved him in if you saw the latest installment of Beverly Hills Cop with Eddie Murphy, which I watched and I did like. But Netflix to me, movie making, for all the big names that they pull in, I just feel like the movies should be better. And I don't remember the last time I was bowled over by a movie on Netflix. What am I missing, Scotty?
I think they make good movies. Blockbusters, every once in a while. Their series.
I just like that Woman of the Hour one.
The series is good.
The series can be a tad bit better. Their docs always seem to go... maybe one too long. Like if they're doing a three-parter, I really do believe you could have squeezed it in two, because the third one, you're giving me a whole recap of everything we learned in the first one.
Woman of the Hour was a great movie. I know you didn't like it, but I thought it was a cute, cute in what it was covering, but
right.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hate it. It's just, I don't know. I guess I didn't like it as much.
I can give you some insight on those docs that go too long, because I've been in a pitch meeting selling those docs.
Mm-hmm.
They go, can you make it three? If it's a one, they go, can you make it three? If it's a three, they go, can you make it 10?
Right.
You know, they want to make them longer. They want longer content.
I've always said that I believe when it comes to their docs, you could have really made two 90-minute episodes and skipped the third.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to like them. I mean, I've seen great series on Netflix. I think that's where they excel. Movies, I don't know, not so much.
I know Loudermilk is on Netflix right now, and that's a fantastic show.
That is
fantastic.
Yeah. I know somebody that wrote on that show.
I know somebody wrote a couple episodes of that show.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And a lot of times,
loved that whole thing.
To that point, though, a lot of times that stuff's not made for Netflix, and then it ends up in their hands.
Right.
And I think some of the movies, I know some of the movies that are made are... looking for this giant theatrical release.
Yeah,
and then when the interest isn't there, they get sold to some of these streamers.
Yeah.
And then also, sometimes the streamers will buy stuff after it's done a release. Mm-hmm. Some of the deals are cut where they say, we'll let you put it out in the movie theaters for 2 weeks so you can be eligible for awards, and then we'll take it. So it's a whole different business plan.
Loudermilk was loved it from day one to the end.
You got guys like Sandler and Kevin Hart, and I love both of them. Both very, very funny. But they sign these deals with Netflix, and they're churning them out one right after another. And it almost feels a little bit too factory-like.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A little bit too factory-like. I know you're not a Sandler guy, Scotty. But
I will say that he did that Halloween movie, and there were bits and pieces that I laughed at that. Usually the mother's inappropriate shirts that she was wearing.
Yeah,
but
not me.
Sacrilege to be in this building and not be a Sandler fan.
Yeah.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, I didn't like Hubie Halloween, Kelly.
I'm not a big Sandler guy.
That's the one that I thought was funny because his mom, she'd go and buy shirts places and they were very inappropriate.
So Paul Reiser is going to join us. The comedy special is called Life, Death, and Rice Pudding. I'm going to pass on the rice pudding part.
I like rice pudding.
Oh, God.
Same as bread pudding.
Rice doesn't belong in a pudding. It doesn't belong. It's got no place in a pudding.
Yeah. Pudding. Then why'd they make it?
If they just called it pudding and didn't have the word rice in it,
Kelly,
you wouldn't even know.
The box of rice could have fallen on its side and fell into the pudding. That's how they could have made it. I don't know.
But they make it so sweet and yummy and cinnamon.
Mm. I could do without the... Keep the rice, I'll take the pudding. Pudding.
There you go.
He's pudding. A big fan of pudding.
So,
I'm guessing you don't like tapioca either.
You're right. Fish eyeballs.
Fish eyeballs.
That's what's in there.
Disgusting.
I grew up and it was fish eyeballs, was in tapioca pudding, and that's why you didn't eat it, because it had fish eyes
in
it.
Right, I remember that rumor.
Yeah, sure.
Do you really? Because it was really a thing.
Yeah. Yes, I remember the rumor.
I know it was a rumor, but at that time I didn't. I was like,
that doesn't seem like it would be cost effective.
your 9-year-old analytical mind doesn't cover that.
I didn't wrap my head around
fish,
that.
They're killing fish anyway. They got no use for the eyeballs.
Yeah, but
now
you got to take them all out. I can't imagine they got a guy
and
taking eyeballs.
Small eyeballs because small fish. I guess.
I don't like it. Like it. So you know, but
Feel like I could have debunked that one even at a young age.
I'm watching a show on Netflix. On the Apple TV that nobody is watching. I even posted about it. I said, is anybody watching this? I got one response.
Shrinking?
No, Shrinking's great. I love that show. I'm watching Billy Crystal in a show called Before. It's on Apple TV. It's creepy.
Okay.
And it's Billy Crystal, whom I always thought very highly of. Not anything like I've seen him do before. It's serious. It's creepy. I don't want to say otherworldly. I'm not there yet. I don't know, but
it's
I'm like four episodes.
Billy Crystal-y.
Very uncrystally. Mm. Yeah. So anyway, I find that Apple TV, out of all the platforms, Apple TV delivers the most consistent product.
I would argue and say Paramount Plus, but I get it.
I'll give you Paramount
I'm
Plus,
not if I'm not a company, man.
Yeah,
you know that.
No, man. But you got like Paramount. Doesn't that have it's got Tulsa.
Tulsa King.
Tulsa's on that. Tulsa King is awesome.
I can't get over Stallone's face.
Mayor of Kingstown?
What?
I just can't get over Stallone's face.
I love him. I think he's great. I think he's great in that. He's great. And the other thing, Lioness is on that.
Yep. And Taylor Sheridan's got a new one called Landman.
Yeah.
Is it called? That's coming out
Billy
soon.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes.
It looks great.
And Taylor Sheridan is, you know, from The Sopranos.
Also the Yellowstone thing.
Yes. You know, yes. So, Taylor Sheridan is a monster. So I'm looking forward to that one.
So everybody's all pissed. If you haven't followed the whole Yellowstone thing, it came back on. The final five episodes of the series started on this past Sunday night, and it was 8:00. And I'm gonna spoil it here. Spoiler alert!
Can't do this.
This is the fate of Kevin Costner's character.
Yes, I'm spoiler alert. So I'm
spoiler
telling you right
alert.
Now.
Turn it off right now.
You never see him. He's dead. Mm. That's how it starts.
Okay,
he's
what
dead.
A total ripoff to the fans.
Yep. And the way it's a staged murder. It's a murder that was made to look like something else, made to look like suicide.
But they didn't see the body.
You never saw the body.
Right.
You never saw the body. But, I mean, I think dramatically the story is taking a turn, but it's a shitty exit for the guy that was the impetus for the whole show.
Well, they had no choice, right? He wouldn't come back?
The whole show. And then why is it a surprise when we've known for 2 years he wasn't coming back?
Right.
But how?
You knew he was going to be dead in moments.
He can't be... Like go in and go, I'm going to film my death, and then we'll call it.
He offered. They said no. And then
he did. Okay.
He said, wow. I expected to, but they never came back with the schedule, and so he moved on.
And I heard we lost another character.
No, not yet. Not that I know of.
I can tell you this. When you're not coming back to a show, they're not taking your calls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And it was a lot of public fighting, so it's over. But the fans are all upset. It was all over the entertainment. I'm like, who didn't know it was going to happen that way?
Yeah. Sometimes you get that big surprise.
That big final scene. You know? Yeah. No, they weren't doing that. There was too much animosity there. Costner was supposed to stay for the whole thing.
It's strictly between Sheridan and Costner?
Yes, because Costner was supposed to stay for the whole thing.
And
he was working on the Horizon movies, three of them. Yeah. And he's like, look, I got like 300 people waiting for the employment, and I can't, because they kept pushing back Yellowstone, pushing it back. And then it interfered with Horizon. He goes, what am I going to do these 300 people?
Right.
I got that. They promised them jobs. I mean, I got to, you know.
But it also.
And he goes, I got to honor that commitment.
He left a series doing very well for a shitty movie.
No.
The work was getting pushed back.
You didn't know that. And you got to give it to the guy. He felt responsible for the people that he committed to. He's going to push these people off for another 5 months.
Yep.
that said no to other jobs. I got to respect that.
I'm on Costner's side on that
one. I got to respect that. Here's an idea. Stop producing 25 shows, Sheridan. Get your shit together and do the freaking show that brought you there in the first place.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you.
I could tell you from the point of view for a guy who sits at his house and looks at his phone a lot.
Yeah.
You don't know. And when they say go, you got to go.
Yeah.
And that is a... There are a million stories in Hollywood where people, obviously at a much higher level than me, weren't available because of another project. And they get pushed off.
Right, but if you were on that cast of The Horizon, if you were locked in the crew or whatever, and you had these block of dates, and all of a sudden you kept getting pushed back, wouldn't you like a guy that said, I'm committed to that date, we're sticking to it?
Sure.
That's what Costner did.
Why do you think he stuck with it?
He stuck with it because he wanted to honor that commitment, and it was a passion project of his.
Integrity?
Yeah.
A passion project. You mean ownership project?
It might be, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have integrity just because he owns it.
All right. Well, Google Kevin Costner integrity and see how that comes up.
Does he not have any?
Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Greg loves him. They're really good friends.
Really?
Are you doing it?
We have him on a lot.
No, we can't because our guest is joining us.
We'll have to get back to that later.
There he is. I'm looking at Paul Reiser, who I don't know if he can hear us. Not yet. He's going to hear us. Thank you very much. Paul, can you hear me?
I do.
How are you, sir?
I am.
How are you?
I'm good. Where am I? Who am I talking to here?
We're out here in New England, in New Hampshire. We spoke a couple weeks ago about the Irish movie, about you and the land fighting there that you were doing in Ireland. We did that.
We talked about that.
Yes, we did.
Did we talk about that? Yes, we did. It's all coming back.
We only speak every
couple of months. So like, you know, we can't get enough of each other.
We rarely book people back to back, but you are one, no BS here, one of our favorites. So we wanted to talk to you again.
Very kind. I'm honored and flattered.
You are. We also have someone else that is a stand-up comedian like you. We were talking about your brand new special, Life, Death, and Rice Pudding. And I want to talk about that, but I want to also have you say hello to Jimmy Dunn, whom you have met, I think, before. Actually.
Yes. Hi, Paul. We met a couple times at the Comedy and Magic Club, and we shared the meal at that big table a few times.
You know what? It was a highlight. I'll never forget. You had some sort of chicken dish.
I did have the chicken dish. This guy gets me.
So
I told you he was a good guy.
How long, Paul, has it been since your last comedy special?
32 years. You know why? I like to space them out. I don't like to, leave them wanting more. That's what I say.
I saw you do stand-up in New Hampshire at the Capitol Theater, and one of the things I really loved about you, and I think I've told you this before, is you're just such an easy storyteller that it almost, you make the entire thing look effortless when you are up there on stage.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice to hear. I love doing it. I love being out there and seeing people, and especially post pandemic, there was suddenly a new appreciation from the audience and from performers of how nice it is to be with people and see actual people. You're not on Zoom. You're not virtual. You're enjoying something together. So, and to me, we've talked about this. I've gotten to be on all these great high visibility shows, Stranger Things and Beverly Hills Cop and so on, but they're not as fun. That they're good to be on and they're cool, but the fun part to me is getting out there and doing live. And I'm really happy about the special because it was a great crowd and a beautiful theater. We shot it in Denver, which is a great comedy town.
Great.
And it's just like, okay, I feel like this is a really good representation of, for good or for bad, this is what I'm doing now. This is where I am, and the arc of whatever will be.
Yeah.
And the audience was great. So, and we only did one. They said, well, you're supposed to tape two, and then you pick the best. I go, I don't have that. Let's just do one. I'll get it right, which was added some of the fun, the tension to it.
Isn't that kind of where you're at in life where we have to weigh everything? I'm right in that frame of mind. I just want to do one, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't want any nonsense.
Most.
Yeah. At most, if at all. But one of the things I've noticed about people that even Jimmy here, who is a comic like you, And no matter how big you get in the acting world, they always come back, because that stand-up, that comic thing, being on stage in front of an audience is addicting. It becomes part of a need
it
for
is.
People.
Well, and also, it's what that was all I intended to do, you know, when I started. I thought, I want to get on The Tonight Show. I want to be, you know, do what George Carlin and Robert Klein, I want to do what those guys do. I didn't look at movies and think, gee, I'll be in a movie. That was not even, you know, on my radar. But the other thing that I've come to appreciate, and Jimmy, I'm sure we'll back this up. You know, if you're doing TV, you got an idea for a TV show, it's just an unbelievable climb. You have to sell the idea. You have to raise money. You have to get greenlit. You have to get studio approval. Stand up, all that is cut. It's just, you think of something at 3 o'clock, you try it out at 8 o'clock, people laugh or they don't laugh, you go home and you rewrite it. But it's simple, it's uncomplicated.
Yeah.
You know, and I never appreciated that until I had the experience of trying to, you know, spend 5 years making a movie or selling a show and getting bumped around. It's like, oh, stand up is refreshing because it's just you and actual people.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's your idea. It's your idea. You take responsibility for it, but you don't have to run it through a bunch of people. You don't have to get notes on it. You don't have to work on it for a week and they go. And then they change it and cut it.
I am allergic to notes.
Oh, notes are the worst, man. Notes are the worst. And it amazes me that they don't understand. They will hire the most creative, brilliant. They'll come see you in a theater, and every word is perfect. And they go, we're going to give this guy a show, but we're going to micromanage every word he writes. Well, you just saw what he did.
I want to hear here's the greatest thing I ever heard. I forgot it was somebody big. Maybe it was David Kelly or some big producer. And they were, you know, a guy who does not need notes. And he was in a session with the studio execs, and everybody always feels like they have to say something. And he said, all right, I just want you to know, the next note that anybody gives, I'm going to take, and I'm going to apply it. And nobody gave any more notes. Because they go, I don't want the responsibility.
Yeah,
you can
right.
actually use it.
Right.
We just want them to say stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's genius. It's like, or whatever you say is going to happen. And then you have to own it. And it's like, all right, then we'll shut up.
So let me ask this about, like, when you do a comedy special, right? And you're going to submit it. Somebody's got to pick it up, I guess, and buy it to air it. Does anybody along the way, Paul, say, this joke, I don't know if they've come. Can anybody say something
I
like
guess
that?
They could.
To you?
They didn't. That wasn't the case here. We actually, you know, we just made it. I said, I didn't even want to go through that process. I was like, I don't want to, like, somebody, you know, Netflix to go, you know, I don't like this. You know what? I like. So we just made it. My managers are production or a production house.
Yeah.
And they said, let's just cut all that. Let's just do it. I said, well, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then you'll go sell it afterwards. So we just made it. And no, I didn't get any notes. I didn't get any, you know, the only, literally, they said, when you edit it, just get it just below an hour. I said, that's doable. I can do that. You know, it's easier to program if it's 59 minutes instead of 67 minutes. So, no, there was nobody, you know, and I don't have the kind of material that someone's going to go, ooh, that's going to be decent.
Right.
That's going to.
Yeah.
So that was not an issue. So again, nobody, good question, but no.
It's very familiar, like what you, the things you talk about, even when I saw you before, I was like, I can totally relate to that. But I gotta ask about the rice pudding. Gross.
Well, we're split
on the rice pudding.
That's a room splitter. A lot of people don't like rice pudding. A lot of people love a rice pudding.
What made put it into the title? Because it's got to be a bit, right? It's got to be a bit.
There is a bit. There's a story I tell towards the end of the show, and it's a story we've talked about. I did a movie years ago with Peter Falk, Columbo, and I loved Peter. And one day we were talking, he told me a story about that was about him ordering rice pudding in a deli. And it was a really funny, stupid story. It really made me laugh.
Yeah.
But over the years, I would think about it, and I would just tell the story because it was so funny and stupid. But I would listen, I think about it, I go, wait a minute, there's something really kind of philosophical and deep about this story. If you listen to it, there's something in here. And that sort of, you know, to me was like a great philosophy of life.
Right.
So I started telling it to friends, and I said, I'm going to tell it on stage. And it was really, I had never done that. Like, this is not a bit. I'm just going to tell you a story.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so that became, and it was really, to me, it was one of my favorite parts of the show. And I said, well, let's put it in the title.
It's going to premiere the special on Amazon Prime Video, Apple TV, YouTube, Google Play, all over the place. Life, Death, and Rice Pudding. Paul, we love having you on. We'll talk to you anytime you have anything to talk about.
Always great to talk to you all. Hope you enjoy the show.
Jimmy?
I'll see you at that table. We'll have some chicken again.
Okay.
Looking forward to the chicken.
Thank you very much. Take care. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Paul.
Thanks.
Paul Reiser. I love the guy.
It's class act.
You know what I mean?
He's a class act, a world-class stand-up comic, he says that. I didn't want to be an actor, and I know a lot of comics that didn't even think about that.
Right.
Was never on their radar screen, and just picks it up naturally and super gifted actor.
And he's not just a comic actor.
No.
Good, serious
actor. Great in the Kaminsky Method.
Yeah, he was.
So good in that.
He was.
It's like three episodes in, and I went, is that Paul Reiser? That's how good he was.
The movie, and now, see, what's embarrassing is the movie that we talked to him about, it was a few weeks ago.
Right.
It looks really good, and I want to see it. I haven't seen it anywhere yet. But, that November 19th is when this movie, this special premieres. But, he's always the best. I loved him in Mad About You.
Yeah.
That was one of those shows like Frasier, you know, where you watched it every week, and every week it was sharp and funny, and the chemistry between him and Helen Hunt was undeniable.
Textbook romantic sitcom.
Yeah, it was.
Textbook.
It was. In a time when most of what was on TV was cheesy.
And at that time, I was at UCLA taking writing classes, mm-hmm. and they would use those scripts as demonstrations. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. There's very few people that... I mean, name them. Who would we always have on no matter what?
Are you like Kevin Costner?
Well, Costner.
Your guy.
Yeah, same thing.
Costner's one of the greatest guests because he gives you something.
Yeah.
He tells you a story about, you mentioned a movie you like, he's going to tell you what?
And say anything.
Yes, you're making faces over there. I see you and her, you're freaking doing little faces
he's
behind the thing
faces
over there.
At me.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I made a face at
you. Costner tells stories about movies that you love, and that's always cool. Like when you say, I love this movie, you know what happened on this movie. And who doesn't love that? Yeah. Who else will we always have on the show no matter what?
Who else that we've had already?
Henry Winkler, you've had on. Who else have you had on a bunch?
We have had on.
I know, but you're usually the fan.
Oh, I'm trying to think of.
Dude, we had Morgan Freeman on. Are you kidding me? Like, this we had a lot. We had Stallone. All I'm saying is good people.
Shine Down.
Good people. Shine Down. Anytime. They all have in common. They're all good people. So. That's got to be something bad about Kevin Costner that you just looked up on your phone.
He has an orange case.
Yeah. So do I.
What's going on? This is an
so what does it say
revolution?
About Kevin Costner that's bad?
I don't know anything about it. I heard a story about a baseball movie that he made with a certain baseball player who he was studying to get into character.
Yeah.
And maybe he got too close to that guy's wife.
Okay. All right.
That's not good.
What's the baseball player's name?
It's a guy who played forever. He's like the Cal Ripken of Cal Ripkins.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I didn't say we.
I don't know how true this story is.
Yeah,
but I'm
not saying it's not true. I'm just saying
stuff happens.
I'm a huge fan. Yeah, sometimes it happens.
Jimmy.
Sometimes she's naked, you're naked,
right.
She falls on you. And
repeatably.
Then, you know what I mean? Repeatably. Did you just say repeatably?
Yeah.
Okay. I just checking. I want to make sure that you said repeatably.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, right.
He repeatably.
Look, I don't care. I don't care. You can hate him. You can think
No, I'm not saying he's not
like
a great
him.
Actor. I'm just saying that
like
story's him. Out there.
Okay.
That's
all right.
That's one of those baseball stories one of the greatest baseball movies ever made for the love of the game.
Yes.
And he went to Cal Ripken's, reached out to Cal and said, can I hang around with you and learn more about baseball?
Yeah.
And they hung around. And then the story is that Cal Ripken's
wife.
Marriage might have ended.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I'd have sex with him. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes
with
you,
Costner or Cal Ripken?
With Costner.
Sometimes
Costner.
You kiss her on the strikes. Sometimes she kisses you on the balls.
Thank you, Kelly. There it is right there. All right. Well, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for checking out the Buzz 24/7. We'll see you tomorrow.